9, Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Bill and Prudy and Bill Gary this Thursday, the 18th of March, 76. Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Prudy and Bill Gary this Thursday, the 18th of March, 76. Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit with Bill and Prudy and Bill Gary this Thursday, the 18th of March, 76.
I take several of them. I'm not very good at this, but I do them for you.
Well, now that's enough. Yeah. I got a plate plum full.
Take another one.
Now that's more bread than he ever eats.
I got a plate there full, Faye.
Well, you mean this is a biscuit, Faye?
Yeah, God says I can't make them, but I thought maybe Bill Gary would eat one of my biscuits. Just about burn them.
Just about got to.
Well,
I don't
know
any of you made ones.
Now, well, I tell you, it's just hitting the spot. You want some of this, Tom?
What? Well, no.
You want some of it?
Yeah.
No, I believe not. And you got?
Okay, I got all of them.
How about a little greenery?
Rabbit feed?
And we didn't have any tomatoes, so we had to have thrifty made.
Oh, don't you think they're the best as ever was?
Right.
They really are good.
I
love it.
This bread.
Well, I don't take much roughage. So I get to.
Who said you couldn't make biscuits?
Nothing wrong with them biscuits. She's just talking. Ain't nothing wrong with them biscuits.
God didn't know what I was talking about when he said it wasn't.
That's
he
right.
Said you wasn't good at it.
I don't remember just what I said now, Trudy.
He's trying to get out of it now.
You better keep still or he'd be in the doghouse in a minute.
Yeah.
I told you about Glenn and I having a doghouse, didn't I?
No!
Got a little stove out in his utility building. And about 8 or 10 of them big pine cones is all little holes, you know.
Yeah.
Them great big ones.
Yeah.
And we've put some them in and some wood in and some of them pine stumps out of the woods out there in little pieces about 3 or 4 6 inches long. We can stick them in. But in a little while that lawn bellin's so hot we have to open the door.
He's got one of them little pot bellied stoves and it you have to put the wood in from the top. You can't get
it
in the door.
It's very long you do. We can put a stick in about 10 inches long, but put it in from the top. We put in from the door, you have to about the size of them pine cones as big as it'll go in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And then when you raise the top, if you're in the house, you'll
let smoke out.
Well, I don't know smoke come out there. We just raise the top and drop in a few chunks. And
well, now you just need a place like that on the place.
Yes, sir.
You gotta have somewhere.
And got that little stove in there, and got a old davenet, and we can just sit back out there and
love
see proper feet up.
Yeah, and read the paper. Listen to
don't
the
you want any of this?
No, we haven't got any radio out there.
I do that, but I eat my
bread. We don't worry about
it. I love it. It don't take much roughage from it.
We've had the best time this morning.
We've just been talking.
I know it.
I said, I guess I'll come at least offer to help you.
Mm. Well, now that's what you all had down there in that little tobacco barn.
Strip room.
Yeah.
Strip room, yeah.
Oh, that was a cozy place.
Yeah.
Well, you know the one we got now, Faye. The one we got now has got a concrete floor in it, and stove in it, and plenty of wood laying there. And of course, that's all we got left on that side is the strip room. They took the barn and the corn crib and everything else.
We don't need the ground, on the ground it sits on.
You don't need. Well, I'd have to leave you just almost another man now.
Well, we got 75 acres of woodland.
Of woodland?
Mm-hmm. Well, then we got most of that field across the railroad, see, where you go. Probably burnt that tobacco bed that night.
Rudy, I kind of forget about that tobacco bed. Now, we had plenty of wood. We had all them slabs, didn't we?
Brush. Brush what we had on it. And just enough slabs to hold the brush down to make it burn.
Is that where it was?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, where'd we get all that brush?
We just cut it down the treetops there where they cut,
cut
the logs.
Oh, I see.
Hold the brush in there and pile it up.
Roast is about as tender. I'll get it. I'll cut it. Not as tender.
Say, you knew us before we built the house, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
I thought we lived in that little shanty.
Yeah.
Sure did.
We lived in the shanty when they first started coming down there.
We had some good times. We did have a lot of
good
people in that
little.
Yeah. I know it. Yeah. I used to wonder why you wanted to build another house.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't very good. Floor was down on the ground nearly. Well, in my bedroom, I had a board set down for the bed to sit on, keep them cracking through the floor.
Cracking through.
Yeah, break through.
I don't know. Well, I think we got along about as well in that little house as we do in this big one.
Yeah.
Had a lot of good times in
there. Had a lot of good times there. And that little dining room would accommodate quite a few people, wouldn't it?
Well, I can see it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the kitchen wasn't big as you... Well, it was a 6 foot wide and... About eight foot long, so all bigger the kitchen was. Used the back porch, took the back porch to make a kitchen out of it.
And just wide enough for the sink and the cook stove, the wood cook stove. That's how wide it was.
Wide?
The sink and the stove, and then it was longer.
Hmm.
And after we built a new house, it about run me to death to cook a meal. The kitchen was so big.
That's right.
Yeah.
A long ways over to the sink.
Yeah.
Pretty handy down there in that trailer where we are. Cook stove and the sink. And
that's why you just turn around.
Yeah. Refrigerator. Well, I can get breakfast ready right fast there. Don't run around very far.
There you are. Yeah.
But Darren, you get this corn pudding?
Yeah,
you
that's
good. You got any of that over there?
Yeah, that's good corn pudding.
Mammy ordered that today.
Mm-hmm.
I love corn.
Did we have it the day you all was over home?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Yeah, because you kept telling you something about corn.
I know we had it the day that, we had it the day you and the boy come over there.
Yeah, you had it both days. Yeah. Yeah. I was glad to add it that day. I liked it, and also I was glad he
really
it.
Enjoyed that day,
yes,
didn't
he?
Has he left you?
He had to move, and he's working on his house, trying to get it in shape to live in.
Well, I bet he's a good boy.
Yeah, he helped me a whole lot back in the fall. Well, since Christmas, he's helped me.
He specialized in that photography, didn't he? Or did he just pick that up as a hobby?
He just picked that up. And he worked at it in advertising. He made slides and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that way he learned some of the fine points. But I don't guess he never did call himself a photographer.
He made some good pictures.
I don't want any sugar cream either.
Yeah. Now, you see, if we'd been up there at your house, we could have really made some good ones. And down here, you see, we don't have any background for them. Yeah, the kitchen and the basement and the fireplace and the stripping room and everything.
Yeah.
The tractor.
Yeah. You know where the tractor was when I left home?
Yeah.
Sitting on the patio.
Yeah.
On that concrete patio.
Yeah.
I was going to put it in Nanny's
garage.
Well,
I guess we're taking nothing.
She just seemed that she didn't want me to get put it in there. And there's plenty of room for it and not bother her.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
She didn't want him to put it in there.
She thought Estelle would want to take it out and maybe hit her car with it.
She's afraid her car would get scratched.
Yeah.
Afraid you'd scratch her car.
Well, mine scratched so much I wouldn't notice much difference.
So I just left the tractor sitting up on the patio on the, right in front of the house.
Yeah.
Well...
put the truck out there in that shed where I had the old car, and put the old car in the garage there by the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they're all in the dry.
Oh, I see.
So,
guess you had a snow while you
were
down here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, last Monday, a week ago, last Monday, had 2 inches of snow and stayed on all night. And then when everyone called,
this Monday.
This was Monday? No, she didn't call on Monday because she'd worked the day before.
Tuesday.
Evelyn called and, no, I don't. Do you want some of the strawberry stuff?
What?
Strawberry?
No, I ain't ready for strawberries.
I don't think he's going to get very far. And.
I ain't ready for strawberries.
Evelyn called and she said, now, snowed all day yesterday, all day. Said they told her, of course she's working. But she said it may have been about as quick as it struck the ground.
Uh-huh. According to the television yesterday morning, Maine had about 18 inches of snow.
Isn't that something? I'm telling you, here in the middle of the spring.
They can have it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they can't have it.
I'm just chewing my meat.
Yeah, they can have that snow from that part.
Like oh, that blizzard clear across those states up there.
Yeah.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Come up further north, it's come all the way across.
Now, when they say blizzard, they mean cold weather as well as snow. And
that's right.
Everything.
That's right.
And if it's a bad one, it can blow the wires down.
Well, they done that in Michigan just here a week or so ago. 14,000 people out of electricity.
Is that right?
That was just about the first of the month when that happened.
That's why Liz was down here.
They had utility people.
Well, you've all been a little cooler down there, haven't you?
Yeah, it's cool this morning.
Cool
yeah. Well, we had the pot light out on our furnace, and yesterday we turned the oven on in the kitchen and a little electric stove on to keep our house warm, to keep warm.
Well,
and we had that
I
on
guess
this
better
morning.
Light that pot light on that furnace in the morning because them kids come.
Yeah.
That stove won't put no heat in the bathroom for them. Knowing them, they may have to take a bath.
Say you almost give me too big a plate full.
I'm about ready for some more.
Just leave what you eat what you want and leave what you don't want. We got just a little table.
It always gives me more meat than I
didn't get anything to drink,
see?
Let me get just a little. Excuse me.
Y'all,
excuse me, let me get a little something.
Yeah, I'll get you something to drink, boy. You have to wash it down a little.
Yeah. How about you, Bill Gary?
I got plenty.
You don't care if I do it this way, do you?
I used to take it up and drink it.
She don't care. She don't care how you do it.
I do it that way too, for some.
Well, this is the way I do it. It's so much better. Just drink it.
Haven't you been around Faye enough to kind of be at home where she is?
Sure she is. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tablecloth.
Isn't it?
It's like a bandana hanger.
Yeah. I bring sometimes my pills in here and put them down on the table, and I just feel for
yeah.
them. I think one of them, there's one of them.
Miss Bree's got a lot of rabbits to eat.
I don't know. We'll see.
Faye's a good hand to lay water pipe, water lines, so she jumped right down the ditch with me up there.
I sure did.
Water pipe.
We done a lot of things, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We was running the water pipe from a spring down to the
water draw.
To another field where the cattle could get water.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I couldn't hold both ends of the pipe up.
And he couldn't hold the pipe. She got
yeah.
right down that ditch and held that pipe. I leave put the connections on. Or faced it together, whatever he done to it.
I was passing them two together.
So yeah, one of her calves got drowned in that spring.
Oh, really?
You know where we had that towel?
Yeah,
in.
Yeah.
I guess they got to.
They got the lid
to
off.
Drink out of
they
it.
Got the lid off of
yeah.
it, and one of them was trying to drink, and the old cow or
well,
something come along and rumped him, and he went in head first.
Just went overhead.
Oh,
that doesn't happen too often.
I never heard of that.
About a 450-pound Hereford calf.
That big?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This is biscuit service.
I don't want
another
than I have one.
I got bread, honey.
Is it gas?
I still got a biscuit.
You'll get home in time to plant a little garden, though, won't you?
Oh, yeah, we've been home in time. It's warm enough to plant anything up
mm-hmm.
there. It's been so dry, it's been so wet for the last 2 or 3 years, we haven't had much garden.
Oh.
Have 4 inches of rain today and
oh.
3 day after tomorrow, and then rain drizzled along the rest of the week. Well, you can't raise nothing that way.
Yeah. Well, most places it's been dry.
Mm-hmm.
It gets too dry.
Yeah, 50 miles from us, they'd like to have what rain we was having we didn't need.
Yeah.
They wet news up there, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yes, it was. Nice and wet.
Yeah.
I see, customarily, there's not much rain here in the spring.
Beans.
No. Your rain's in August and July and August, ain't
it? Well, the rainy season starts, as I've noticed it starts along in the early part of May. June.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But ordinarily, July and August is your rainy months.
It rains, but you never know. Sometimes you'll have a rainy spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's a curious
word. We got potatoes that high growing over here.
Oh.
And they got 10 hills, and they about ready to start blooming.
Huh. Well.
Got about 20 hills of
beans
coming
up. I don't have potatoes about to do it. I won't go
yeah.
make a bread.
You mean down there where you are?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we had a few potatoes that started growing, and then when I'd peel them to cook, I'd peel them real. Cut me a big piece. to paint.
Round the eye.
And I had her old painted, and then he had to have some paint, but he painted a potato.
And you planted a whole potato?
or cut any of it off or not, but they started to grow.
I cut them. We were planting her peelings. Where I planted her peelings after we put the washing machine out there, didn't have enough pipe and run water out of the washing machine on them, but I thought they wasn't going to get nowhere. They were going to wash away.
You had the washing machine when you was there, didn't you?
And then when they got the extra pipe on the washing machine, got that water away from the potatoes, they come up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
They're doing all right, too.
We got a longer pipe and runs way out in the way out in that little garden.
Uh-huh.
About 20 or 30 feet.
Uh-huh. Well, you ought to have radishes.
No, sir, he planted some.
I planted radishes and they just didn't do nothing.
They come up and just got yellow and died.
Well, I was blessed.
And you just live too close to the radish country, you see.
Yeah.
It was either too hot or not enough water on them or something, that sand.
In the sand, that's right. You'll have to learn how to...
You have to learn how to raise
to grow in sand.
Yeah.
We planted our old beans, but the seed was old and they didn't come up.
Oh.
I planted them over and they're coming now.
You plant them again?
Mm-hmm.
That was new seed?
No. Planted some more of the old seed.
How about that?
But I put enough in the hill that I might have to thin them if they all come and they're not going to all come.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I didn't know. Seed don't necessarily get old, does it?
They do if they're left in the plastic bag.
I'll tell you what I think. I think they bag them up in these plastic bags and no air can get to them. Kind
seeds
of just scalds them or does something to them. I don't know how.
Seeds got to breathe.
Kill the germ.
Oh, is that right?
They've got to breathe. They've got to have air and moisture.
Well, they
come in case and go out if they stay good.
They can breathe in anything except the plastic.
Or it's sealed.
You can't put them in a...
You see, it's sealed in those plastic bags.
You can't put them in a... You can't put them in a sealing jar and put a lid on them and they'll ever grow.
Oh. Oh, is that right?
They got to have the moisture and they got to have... Come in case and go out of case. That's what they got to do.
Oh, is that right?
These pretty teacups.
Yeah.
I'm eating a pepper.
You can put them in a paper sack, and that won't.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. It's a cloth sack.
Cloth sack.
I usually put mine. What I like to see my bean seed in is an old stocking.
Old stocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
old.
Just save your
one
seed.
One ain't got holes in enough big enough.
During, that would be good to do your flowers, wouldn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
See, they can get air through that.
Yeah.
Moisture too. See.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, let me tell you, I don't think I ever saw any seed put up in an old sock.
Well, you see it at home.
I had two.
I don't think I ever saw it.
In my old stockings. They was full of beans. It just looked like a leg hanging there. Out in the garage, hanging out there in a by our garage. By our car.
Well, maybe
it just looked like a leg with a foot.
Maybe I just didn't know what it was.
Maybe you thought it was some woman's leg sticking down through that porch up there.
I have been in a little room, a garage like that, you know, where people put in a lot of stuff, put away a lot of stuff. And I've seen these little packages of seeds and all like that from one year after another. You just fill the whole wall.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I wonder wouldn't the rodents and the bugs, wouldn't they get to them?
No, maybe a mouse might get in there and cut a hole in your what you had them in, a paper sack or a stocking or whatever you had. Maybe a mouse might cause them to waste. They wouldn't eat them.
They wouldn't eat them?
They would if it was corn, but they wouldn't eat beans.
And the bugs wouldn't bother them, because they couldn't get in. But it's all right to put them in a jar, just so you don't seal it.
You leave it open or punch holes in the lid.
Well, That'd be enough. Just punch holes in the lid.
See, it's got to have air and moisture.
Yeah.
Go with the season, see? Come in case and go out of case. Pick up the air.
Well, no, I hadn't thought about that.
That keeps the germination right.
What's the matter? You left that meat.
I had to. Well, I had a piece run clear across here. You know I can eat that much meat.
Well, eat them tomatoes, so you know that.
I've done quit. I'm done quit.
You know about that?
Miss Pretty, are you?
No, I'm done too. I
couldn't use a few more tomatoes?
No.
Can you feed the pie, Bill Gary?
Oh,
I know Miss Pretty won't eat any pie.
I've done quit.
Well, I thought everybody ate pie, Faye.
No.
This is a finger pie. Don't you think you could eat a finger pie?
I don't like any kind of sweet.
And
your
rabbit
any,
food.
I didn't eat any strawberries. Now, I can nibble on that.
If I was going to eat anything else, I'd get another biscuit and some more strawberries. But I'm going to quit right where I am.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time you have to quit, you know.
Very little. Now, we was out yesterday where we ate as we was coming home from day before yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, day before.
We was coming home from that farm. They had the lime pie.
Uh-huh.
Now, occasionally I'll eat a lemon, piece of a lemon pie, but very seldom. And the only kind of pie ever I make at home is a cobbler. I drink my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make a peach cobbler or whatever.
Blackberry cobbler,
whatever I have.
Apple. We had some cobbler when you was up, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, and I noticed for a day or two there, after we ate it the first day, it's over there by my plate.
Yeah. The rest of us, well, there was one mess out of something, that's it, that point.
I tell you,
if I make a pie,
Pearl pretty good baking cobbler.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie.
Well, now I come think of it, I believe she did.
She made that cobbler that day.
Yeah. Georgia.
She said the only thing that she could cook that Esther would brag on was her pies.
Yeah.
She comes down there a lot of times and get up on Sunday morning. We go to church. Then we come back home, she's got dinner on the table, and the table all fancied up, you know, she fancies it up.
Yeah. Well, I
never
tell you.
Know what she's going to cook when we go to church Sunday morning, we come home and dinner's ready.
While I got there, you all left. And I forget just when it was, it could have been Sunday morning. And just as soon as you all got out,
she went to work.
She went to work. Yeah. I mean, she obviously went to work.
Yeah.
I mean, she got
She fixed the table and put all the fancy things around, this and that.
Yeah.
Knick-knacks, and then she'll get dinner on the table.
Yeah.
She likes to make a pretty salad. Maybe she'll take this, my salad. Maybe she'll have two or three things on the same plate, but she puts them on pretty.
Yeah.
Fancies it
and
up. That's what
I
call
it. So I get them all. If I can get them on the table where they can be gotten, where they can be reached.
Well, now, you used to be just about that bad.
Oh, does she?
She used to be a long time ago.
Had to be fancy.
Yeah, but now if she can get it on the table, that's it.
That's it.
Well, I may not remember properly, but I can't remember Prudy ever fancying it up. She
that's what I
said. I was too
table.
Old then and had too much to do.
Yeah.
That's
what I said.
Yeah.
She had too much to do.
Just so she got it on the table since you've known her. But before that, why, everything had to be.
Well, I've no more put a jar on the table, like that strawberry, and now I put them on the table just like you did yours.
You wouldn't.
They wouldn't no more. They'd go out in a little, pretty little dish, I think.
Had to have something fancy, see?
Sure,
that's where the
that's
fancy all.
Silly.
Well, now you got all those nice little dishes like that little preserve stand.
Yeah, she got all them things, but let them step there in the shelf. We got time to put them on the table.
Well, I have just about everything to do with, but I don't like to do.
You had everything
to do, is
that's what
say?
I said.
But I don't want
to
do.
Like to do.
Years before, years before, everything had to be fancy.
Yeah.
And if there was a cobweb hanging down from a chair or something, it had to be knocked off before she could do anything else.
Yeah.
But she's kind of got over that now.
Now, if I wait till now that a cobweb hits me in the face or gets tangled around my ankle. You know, sometimes
you know,
years
change
your
face.
Around your ankle.
But now when they come down and hit me in the face, I work at them a little.
Yeah. Years changes things, Grandma.
I know it. I kind of know
you
a
can remember
bit
something
about
that, too,
yeah,
can't you?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, yeah.
Well, at least she gets the food on the table, don't she?
That's what I said.
Yes.
She gets it on the table.
Yes. She's not weakened as far as that
no,
goes.
No,
like
no, no, no.
Yeah.
No, she can
like
put a she can put it on the table, but
yeah.
She don't go fooling with all that fancy stuff anymore like
she can
used.
Put it on at dinner, and she can also put it back on at supper, can't
yes,
she?
Sir. But she's not going around and getting them little fancy dishes out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. She so, don't when she has some extra company. She just puts it on anyway, just
yeah.
That way.
Just gets it on the table.
Yeah, I know Farrell does that, like you say,
yeah.
The rabbit food. She'll get a little flat plate of a thing, a
yeah.
Bowl dish, and line
puts
it up.
Everything, yeah, she puts around pretty.
Makes
the
table pretty. Makes the table
yeah,
pretty.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to make it look pretty, and,
and
she puts a good meal on the table, too.
I bet.
She's
I
a
bet
good cook, Pearlie.
She's a good cook.
She was going to come down. She had planned to come down here with us. She had two brothers live down in Fort Myer.
Yeah.
And she was going to come down here, and Jim was going to come up and get her brother. Well, after we didn't come here over January, she went to Muncie,
mm-hmm.
Indiana, where she used to live. But she called Nancy and said she was coming home and said she'd been there long enough. And she's at home now, and she's with Nancy part of the time.
Mm-hmm. Prudy, how long you've known Farrell a good long
time? All her life.
Ever since she hatched.
All her life. Nancy taught their school 7 years, and she was one of the students, one of Nancy's students.
Oh, down at
Farmers.
Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then after she came to town to work, she stayed with you.
She stayed in my house a while, and she worked there in Moorhead.
Where was that? Where was
and
that?
And she had Goldie's department store. Do you remember that? Across from Bishop's Church.
Yeah.
She just run that store.
Well, that's funny that I didn't even know her then.
Was Goldberg there then when you was
yeah.
there?
Yeah, he
yeah.
was right in his prime at that time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He was live wire. He
well,
was a lively fella.
She'd worked for, well, she. I went to Moorhead in 1932, and she was working for him then, and I think she left there about what?
Well, thank you.
Have what? A toothpick.
When did she leave there?
You want
there?
One? I don't know any. When's all the wrong
she went to West Virginia. Was that where she got married, or Muncie?
No,
she went
Muncie.
Back to Muncie and got married.
She ran a store over at, well, I don't know what the name is. Wheeler, well, it's Bell and Huntington.
Close to Charleston.
Yeah. She went there and ran a store
hey,
for
I need
a while.
Another cup of that coffee.
Okay.
Can
lunch.
I get it?
Well, I'll turn it on right here. Yeah, you can get it.
Go ahead, Prudy. I'm listening.
She was there in Marshall Field, which is a dry goods store, people. And she knew the salesman. And
yeah.
She went up there and ran a store up there for, oh, I don't know how long, 6 months or more. Then she went to Muncie, Indiana and worked in a drug store and met the man she married.
Yeah.
And he just lived about 7 years after she had married.
Oh, is that what happened?
Then she come back to Moorhead.
Yeah. Well, she'd been around quite a bit, though, hadn't
oh, yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Prudy went to introduce her to somebody one day down there at home, and she was introducing the others and come to Pearl, and before she could say anything, Pearl says, "I'm the adopted daughter."
Stepdaughter.
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 Says, "I'm the stepdaughter. Just stepped in."
Yeah. Just stepped in. Pearl lives in a nice place over there now.
Yeah.
Those are nice little houses. You went up there, didn't you?
Yes, and she showed us all in there, all around.
She's got plenty of room there for one person.
Took us in the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, and the bedroom.
Those are nice little places.
And about
for
all together.
One or two people.
Yes. Yes, sir. Just, it spoils you. It's so convenient, it spoils you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those kind of houses are real nice for people who are widows.
Yeah.
Just where you have room for one.
Well, they have some.
There's Redbird, Mommy.
They can
There's
have
Redbird.
Family.
Redbird.
Boy, that's a pretty one.
There's three there. Was. I don't know whether this run them all off or not, but there was three flew down there.
Yeah, they
don't bother that.
They live around
water.
There.
Yeah.
We've got a woodpecker.
Yeah.
And he makes the prettiest noise.
The prettiest.
Yeah, it just does you good to hear it.
Uh-huh.
It's better than the mockingbird.
If it's not in the morning when you want to sleep.
Yeah.
Jaybirds, the mockingbirds are beginning to come in now out there.
Yeah.
I had some old dried up donuts. Had three and they just got so dry and hard, and we just don't eat that kind of food much.
Yeah, I
crumbled them up and put them out in the bird feeders, and they came in great big pieces. That old jaybird couldn't break it.
We're going to disband.
Yeah.
I think we'll and stretch a little bit.
Well, Bill Garrett's got his coffee.
You're here drinking coffee, but they won't go out.
Yeah, I'll think that's a good idea. Okay. Mammy and Tim, let's go fix your knee.
Okay.
Okay. She's got to have a redoing on her knee.
She told me about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a little something.
Little knee problem?
Yeah.
Well, she's just wonderful to be 92, isn't she?
You know, it's amazing how, you know, when your organs work, how well you, healthy, oh goodness, and she's just ready to do anything. Yeah. She's more fun than anybody else in the family, you see. She'll go along with you.
Oh, I stay ready to go. I had about a bite left on mine. I just didn't eat. Enough piece of this?
Oh, boy.
Here, help me eat this rabbit seed now.
Okay. You know, I don't eat this, and I ought to. I like it.
Yeah.
You just need a little
bulk.
Cooperation.
Yeah.
More than
I eat every kind of green stuff. I have cauliflower and lettuce and green onions.
There's
and
Mama Redbird out there now.
And
mm-hmm.
carrots. And I've got some of it every day.
See Mama Redbird out there now, Mama?
Yeah.
Just a tinge of red down through them feathers.
You know, I like to look up in those green leaves this time of year when they're fresh
mm-hmm.
and new leaves.
A little wild cherries are just almost come on overnight over at our house.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know why the mother bird's a dull color?
No.
So when they're nesting, the varmints and things can't see them so plain as if they were bright.
Yeah.
And that's why they're a dull color.
Yeah.
You didn't put her to bed, did you?
No, she's just working on her knee. She just needs to.
She takes care of herself, Rudy.
She don't
get any special treatment around here. She takes care of us.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. You don't have to feel protective about Mama, but she gets protection.
Hey, that was a plum good dinner. Plum good dinner. I just one piece of meat more than I could eat, though.
My tummy's
full. But I didn't even put my fork in it.
Oh, it feels good.
How do you have time to put up all the little decorations and things?
Well, they just sort of here. This is.
They just sort of jump up there and that's it, huh?
Anybody like to get a little air?
I'm going to walk out here with Bill Gary a minute.
I'm going to go along too to see what they're going to get into. Guy, we'd better go see what they're
going to
do.
Yeah, let's go see.
See what
then we can come back.
Well, we can if we want to. We'll stay out there.
We can stay out in the sun if we want to, can't we?
It's a little too chilly out here, I think.
I guess it is chilly out there. Well, when you're in the sun.
Well, I'll tell you, pretty this kind of weather. I don't know, it's kind of pretty anywhere you sit.
Yeah.
You hear that old bumblebee, don't you?
I thought that was a truck on
that old airplane.
Is that what booked yet?
All day long.
Well, and how it goes sound like it's pretty close.
Oh, yes. It just about hit us out there.
Yeah, sounded low.
They all behave themselves. We can go walk around a little.
Here's a good place to visit. It looks like someone wants a toothpick.
Yeah.
So I put the lid back down.
Yeah, you and Guy have to do your picking.
This is a pretty tablecloth. You never brought that, I bet.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, he
did. He warned me to be sure and bring it.
Yeah.
He warned me to be sure and bring it.
Now, I'll tell you. Now, you didn't tell me you told Faye.
What?
Both of you.
What's this we've told Faye now?
Well, I'll tell you. Just give me time. it was interesting. And, I enjoy listening to it secondhand, you see, and that's the dealings, you see, with this fella that built your porches.
Oh yes, tell Guy.
Now you see that don't happen much anymore, because people just come and build it and go on. That's the end of the matter. And
boys, he's kept in touch with us ever since.
He's a nice fella, or we think he is.
He's going to come see us this summer. His daughter lives in Cincinnati. He said if
we tried to find him last Sunday after church, and we drove all over where he told us he lived, but I couldn't never find him. So we got down in there and drove around a while and couldn't find him, and we come on back home.
Is that right?
Next time I take a notion to go down there to him, though, I'm going to call him and tell him to meet me out there at a certain place, because I know two or three places now that he can meet me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know before.
Yeah, he's got a daughter lives in Cincinnati. And if he comes to Cincinnati to visit her this summer, he's coming out to see us.
Yeah.
He,
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But now, Bill Garrett, before you found him, you went to somebody else.
See, when we first come down here and bought these lots, Mr. Nouse lives down on Fisherman's Road, and we went down there to see him about building a house for us. And of course, you know, when we got the prices, it scared us to death, and we didn't build the house, which we ought to went on and done it then.
Yeah.
At least now we had.
And it would have, well, if we'd built that house then, the house cost us $25,000. But it would have had central heat and central air condition, and a three-bedroom. And to take the lot and the house, we could have got $40,000-$45,000 for it now.
That, it's going up that fast.
It's going up that fast. If we'd have went ahead and built it then, that lot that the trailer's sitting on with the house sitting on there would have brought us $40,000-$45,000 right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, we didn't build the house. But anyway, when I went to build the porches, I called Mr. Nouse. His name's in the telephone book, you know. And, of course, I called him, and he come up there. I told him what I wanted, and he come up there. And he sat down there and talked to both of us, and he said, I'll tell you. He said, I'm not an aluminum man, and I'm not a screen man. He said, I'm a saw and hammer man.
Hmm.
Said, if you need some help about building the deck, see, we would, instead of putting it, in other words, we'd put it down on that concrete slab that was already there. We'd had those three steps coming out of the trailer down onto the deck, which would have took up part of that deck, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to.
And then
do
you
that.
Couldn't walk out in and out all the time.
No.
Uh-uh.
You'd had to went up and down steps.
Oh.
So he said, now I'm going to be honest with you. He said, if you can't get somebody, he said, I'll try it. But says, if you can get somebody that's into that business, why, and they can't build this wooden deck, says, I'll do that for you. So I told him, all right. So this man that we got, Lou Shelton.
He was working on something in the
place. He was working on a
porch, right
porch back there for
two trailers down
Mickey,
the,
the nurse. Mickey's the nurse.
Oh.
And he was working on her porch. So I went back there and talked to him. I looked the job over that he was doing. And I talked to him about building us a screen porch on in front and back. And he said, well, when I get ready to go home, I'll come by and stop and see what you want. So I told him when he come out there then, went to looking, I told him what we wanted. And he said, I don't know about building this deck. He said, I'm not too much of a carpenter.
Just opposite the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'll tell you this much. If you'll square it and can figure out the lumber you need, I said, I can figure it out, but there's no use in me doing it. I said, if you figure out what you need, the joists, floor joists, I said, I want it on 16-inch center. And I said, if you figure out the lumber you need and get it out here, I'll help you with it, because I do know a little bit about
driving a nail.
Driving a nail.
That's all you need, driving a nail.
Well, of course, I knew how to square it and all that stuff, too, but I didn't tell him. If he's going to build it, let him do it.
Yeah.
And I would help him.
Yeah.
So, he got out there, and he figured it out, took the measurements home with him of what we wanted in front and back, and he figured it out and come back and told us how much it would be. I said, well, when can you start on it? I believe you said you started on Monday, didn't you, Mother?
I believe it's Monday. Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right. He said, it'll be 10 o'clock before I get here more. So he had it all figured out and brought his stuff and put the 24-foot 2x6 back here next to the trailer, you know. Of course, this one out here, when it went down through there, then these joists going in, well, you could drive the nails from this way into the joists, see? Mm-hmm. Well, he wanted to drive the nails the same way back here against the trailer. I said, now tell me how you're going to do that. And he said, I don't know. I said, well, you know that you and me can't handle no 24 foot with these 6-inch things nailed in from this side and get it up against the trailer. I said, the only way you're going to do that is get this one in here and then toenail these joists into this one. And then we can drive them in ways like you want to from that one. And he said, I believe you're right. I don't see no other way. I said, well, that's the way we do it. So we went to work and we got it done.
Yeah.
And then he, after we got the deck down, and he took his measures for the upright pieces against the trailer and then out here in front.
Roof and everything.
And got his measures, went and built that thing. And
he has a shop in his house.
Come out there then and brought all that stuff and started setting it in and fastened it to the wall. Put this piece down and fastened it and then set the post on and fastened that. And then he run the screen in there. We got that done in about a week. After we got that deck done, he said, now I want to build the other deck now. I said, no, I want this porch finished so I can get out there on it. Uh-huh. I said, then we can build the one in the back. He said, all right, so that's the way we done it.
I like that little screen on the back.
Now, what about the, y'all got to be pretty good friends. What about his surprise?
Well, he come up, he went home on Friday evening and said, I'll be back Monday morning. So he come back Monday morning and he brought 12 fish. Well, he brought 13. 12 specks and a catfish. Of course, we didn't. We didn't have no table and no nothing to put anything
on.
And he had a lawn cart there. He'd been mixing cement in, you know, to lay the blocks. Well, I turned that lawn cart up, and we had some boards about this long and about this wide, laid it across that lawn cart. And Mammy got there, and I got over here, and one end of that board laying on my lap, and we finally got those fish dressed.
For days.
Well, I dressed them in an hour, and we was about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah. We didn't have anything to do with, and you couldn't have to hold them old slick things.
Yeah. We didn't have any pliers or no nothing, you know.
Uh-huh.
So the next day, then, we told him he had to eat dinner with us. We was going to have fish.
I said, I can't cook it.
I guess that's about what, well, we kidded all the time about bologna. You know how we kid. And kidded all the time. And Mammy said, now, you can just not bring your bologna tomorrow. You can eat with us and eat fish. Well, he talked against it till he left there. Next morning, she got dinner ready, and he said, oh, I've got my sandwich. She said, well, you can just give your bologna or eat it for supper or give it to the dog. And said, you're going to eat with us. So he come on in, ate dinner with us. And then before we got the other one done, why, he ate dinner with us again. He just got to be one of the family, just like you all are.
That's all we had, the beef stew, and I made cornbread.
Yeah.
No, I made biscuits that day, didn't I? Had the beef stew and then her salad, just a rabbit feed.
Yeah.
No, he said, but you twisted my arm. But he really enjoyed it as much as he enjoyed being.
And he calls about twice a week, late in the evening, and he'll call.
Now, how did it happen?
Oh, really?
How did that railing happen?
The what?
Railing. As good as railing.
Oh, he went home.
How did he find out about that?
Well, we put the steps in.
That's right.
Mammy says, I got to have something to hold to get down them steps. And I said, well, we'll get a 2x4 and I'll nail you up something, you know, maybe like this goes down here. I said, I'll nail you up something to get down on. So he went home on Friday night and was going to come back Monday, you know, to work. They don't work on Saturday down here. So Monday morning he come back, he had that aluminum railing. He said, I just told my wife that Mammy had to have a railing, and I just thought I'd make her one.
Yeah, you know that thing there from the stairs.
Said,
yeah.
Said I'd been so good to been so good to help him, and he just make Mammy a railing.
See, Mr. Gary helped him put up all those upright pieces. He
all the woodwork.
Them. He could hold them while he was
fastening them. Of course, he was drilling them in there with a electric drill, you know, them screws.
Yeah.
Well, I could just hold it up straight while he was drilling them in there. And then, of course, I helped him build both of the wooden decks. And he told his wife that I'd been so good to help him, he's just going to make Mammy a handrail.
Didn't he surprise you with it?
Yes.
He did. Yes, ma'am.
He had you come out the back door and...
We used the old one on the back door.
Those
I was washing when he brought them that morning. I was at the wash house.
She was at the wash house, and when he got it up, he come around, he told me, he said, can I go in there and call them fellows, see where they got steel? See, them steps has got steel through them, concrete steps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he said, can I go in there and call them and see where they put that steel in them steps? And I said, well, sure,
so
you know where the telephone is.
Where he'd know what to put the facing the railing to.
See, he couldn't, if he'd have put them screws down through there and hit one of them steel rods through there, it would have backed up on him.
Yeah.
So he went in there and I said, you know where the telephone is, go in there and call them. So he went in and called them. And then come back out, drilled them holes and fastened that foot down there and then fastened it up at the trailer. And then when he got done, he come around there, he said, Mammy, come here, I want to show you something.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Mammy, come here, I want to show you
something.
He even got to call her Mammy before he left.
That's pretty good too, you know. I said, well, Mammy to more people than I am anything else.
Yeah.
Well, that's something when you just adopt a member, to make a member of your family.
Well, now that is.
It is.
Well,
that is.
That's the way we did you all.
I know it.
We just adopted you right back.
Well, you know, it's not done much anymore.
No.
I mean, there seems to be a change.
There's a big change in it.
Well, there's a difference from the people. So many of them you can't trust anymore.
Yeah.
When I told Guy that you had this helper, he said, well, that would just happen to the Garys.
That would happen to them.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you I could go to the telephone right now and call him. If I needed anything, there's any way for him to get it out there to me, he'd bring it.
Yeah.
Well, you know how we got our telephone? You know how we got our telephone?
No.
Didn't you hear about how we
no.
done to get our telephone?
I said I wasn't going to live here without telephone.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we went to work on just as soon as we got our
trailer set.
He was going to talk to him. I don't know much.
I went down to Eustis. Telephone office, you know, telephone exchange office. And I went in, and this little colored girl said, can I help you? And I said, yes, I guess. I'd like to get a telephone. And she handed me a piece of paper and said, sit down right there and fill this out. Application, you know, for telephone. Well, I sat down there and filled it out. And I got down here at the bottom, it said three references. You know, see if I can pay the bill. But anyway, three references. Well, by that time, a little colored girl disappeared and another white girl was sitting over here. So I walked over to her and I said, I've got this thing filled out, all but these three references. And I said, I want a telephone now. I don't want to wait 2 weeks for you to write three or four different people about a telephone. I said, I want it now. And she looked at the top of it, and of course got my name up there when she looked at the top of it. Said, Mr. Gary, we have to have some references. And I said, well, it don't cost you anything to call Morehead. I said, go over and call 606, Morehead Exchange, code 606, get Morehead Exchange. And I said, any of them girls up there answers you, well, they'll tell you. Then she went over and sat down to the telephone. She dialed a while. directly. She was sitting there grinning. She come back over and says, "You know, I like to talk to them people up there, so they call you honey." I said, "Well, they better do that because I raised them like that." And she said, "Well, you must have." Said one of them, "Said I've known you ever since I've been hatched."
Yeah, that's the reference she gave.
The girl up Moorhead had told her, says, "Well, I've known Mr. Gary ever since I was hatched." She come back over there laughing about it. Yeah. She said, "We'll put your phone in tomorrow."
Why, Bill Gary, I never heard that.
Yeah, we got right quick.
Good.
Next afternoon, about 1 o'clock, a man come out there and says, "Where do you want this telephone?"
"And what color?" I said, "But everything else is green, just give us a green one." And he puts the thing in, and the last numbers, you know, the four last numbers.
Yeah.
Our number is 4768 of 60, and this one we got here is 4765. I said, that'd be easy for me to remember.
Yeah.
I put in a long-distance call to you the other night, you know. Or no, it wasn't you, because I don't have to ring long-distance to get you. Where was that call? Anyway, operator said, "Number, please." In other words, she wanted the number that I was calling from. I said, 784. I said, "Wait a minute."
We're getting our hour up.
669. I said, 784. Yeah. I was fixed to give her a Moorhead right down the line.
Yeah. Now, isn't that something, guys? Now, that wouldn't happen to anybody but Bill Gary.
No, I told her. I said, "I don't want a phone 3 weeks from now. I want it now."
Yeah, and it's all so easy. You see the way they did it. They didn't have to get all puffed up and blow them away.
And you didn't tell them to call anyone person.
I didn't tell them to call anyone person. I said, "Call Moorhead Exchange." And I knew whoever answered up there knew me.
Yeah.
Or knew us.
Let me tell you. Now, I can't get this straight. I just have got a little glimpses every now and then in my mind. You remember when you had them iced potatoes down there, and we borrowed that mule from up there. And, where was it?
Burl Cuffley's mule.
Yes.
No, it was Kit Morehouse's mule, wasn't it?
Kit Morehouse, yeah.
Yeah, Kit Morehouse's
Kit
mule.
Morehouse.
But how did we get it way over there?
Kit brought it over to us. We kept it for half the summer, didn't we?
Yeah.
I see that mule right
there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think.
Now, how come we got that mule?
We got that mule left the garden and tobacco ground.
Yeah.
He wasn't using it and didn't have no use for it. And
no pasture, too, I guess.
No pasture for it either.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to sell it.
Yeah.
So we just got it and used it.
And you'd been knowing him.
Oh, I knew Kit Morehouse since 32.
Yeah, since he was 32. Well, and then we had them iced potatoes down there, and we needed to work them. And it looked like a very simple matter until we got that mule hitched up.
You took that old mule out there and laid off them rows and planted all them old trees in it.
Yeah.
No, that's a tractor.
No, it wasn't. It's that old mule. He laid them rows off with that old mule to plant them trees.
Yeah.
All I know is I can see you and Guy both on the end of that
mule.
That line flying through the air.
Was it going too fast for you?
One time I saw somebody's
heels. Well, I don't know why we were both driving it, because she wasn't that bad.
When you first...
No, I mean, each one of you,
know,
I'd see Guy going so fast. And then,
no, I didn't have it. Bill Gary had it.
Well, now, you laid off them...
We have the potatoes.
You laid off them rows up there above that telephone wires to put them trees in.
Yes.
With that old mule.
Yes.
And
the
telephone company has cussed them trees ever since they've been in there, because they go in there and trim up one side of them.
Dosha's tickled with them over the back of her house, though.
Yeah.
She's glad those trees are there.
But I'm talking about down there.
Permos the potatoes.
Across the railroad.
Yeah, I remember.
Right there where you turn in, just right there.
And you're
over the back
bed.
Yeah,
over the back bed, that's right. And you got a hold of that mule, and he wasn't... He didn't kept thinking, well, Bill Garrett's going to break his neck or break that mule's neck or something or other. And you just kept that going for a long time.
We got him straightened out. He hadn't been to work for a long time, I guess.
Yeah. No, he hadn't been worried.
Uh-huh. No. Took a long little while for him to get to learn where to walk.
Now, you don't remember that?
No.
Well, I'm telling you, you and that mule had it.
Well, I remember it.
And I can't...
We finally conquered the mule, though, didn't we? Got him to working like we wanted him to.
And I don't know whether you could say that or not. That was the object, but I don't know that there wasn't enough garden down there to...
No, there wasn't enough down there to slow him down, but after we got him in a tobacco patch, we slowed him down. I know. I remember that.
Well,
we didn't have no trouble.
Let me see now. This is nice enough. Prudy ought to take part in it too, because see, we don't have anything for her.
Don't need anything for me.
Well, Prudy, now don't be careless about this. See, now this is something that lasts from now on.
Yeah,
you see,
I know.
Unless we get something down, you just have a picture there and no worries. Just silent. See, and you are not silent.
I'll tell you what I remember when you and I planned on that garden there above the tobacco patch.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to hear.
Above the what?
The garden, but after we planted the tobacco. You remember that?
And you and Guy.
And Guy and I planted the garden, corn and the beans, and you remember that? All that sweet corn. And
well,
then we,
you and him when you and Nancy planted that
garden. No, I'm talking about me and Guy. We planted the tomatoes. We had the nicest tomatoes, and he gathered the steaks, and we staked them. Then we trimmed the tomatoes. Yeah, you remember when we put them big steaks up there and
I
had
do.
The tomatoes tied up?
Yes.
Then you remember we trimmed them and planted those little trimmings down in that little furrow? And they're the best tomatoes we had.
We had good ones.
They wasn't as big as the others, but they were really good.
Yeah.
Well, you remember how we carried them in, with them big tubfuls at a time? Them big yellow and red and yellow.
That's right.
Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Picked them beans?
Big pan full.
Yeah.
Just
bush of the town.
Yeah. Just no end of them. We
really
had a crop of them.
And for 2 years we haven't had any.
Yeah.
But now those were the best tomatoes I ever saw. And that beans, you remember how we go down there and pick them big long beans?
Yeah.
I've gone down there many times with my big pockets on my house dresses and carry a mess of beans in my pockets, them big long beans.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. Well, it's a little more than I'd cook at a time.
She picked the beans in her apron like she picked the oranges in her dress.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, I did.
And
we had.
Well, that's where you and Guy had the beans when
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your boyfriend come along from Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we had this, one of the men from the main office in the Southern States Cooperative office at Richmond, Virginia, come along, and I was picking beans one morning, and I had that big apron.
Yeah.
And picking them in, tied up here, and I'm picking down in my apron. And he come to the store, and I was farming, and he come up in the field where I was picking them beans to see me. And I said, now, Bill, you want to take some home with you? He said, if I was going home, I sure would. But he had so many other places to go. He didn't take any beans home. Now, that's one of our bosses from Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
He come all the way up in that field to see me.
Was that the
we
year
had the best
that we had those fine strawberries?
No.
Later.
Was it, say?
Seems to me that it was about, it may have been a year later, but
I believe it was a year later we had the beans after we had the strawberries.
Oh.
We started that strawberry patch with 700 plants. And we carried them out there. You know how we carried them out by the water buckets.
Yes, sir.
Full for the time. And say we lost the big butcher knife. And the next year we went out to that strawberry patch and found that butcher knife just stuck down in the ground where we were getting the grass from around those strawberry plants.
Yeah.
You remember
me. Yes, I remember.
Well, we had to get on our knees and get the grass over there. Don't you know we kept talking about getting some geese out there?
Yeah. And did. We got the geese.
Yeah.
They didn't do nothing. We had the geese. We had, I guess we had 50 or more, didn't we?
What?
Geese in that strawberry patch.
No, we just had,
the weeds.
We just had two parrots.
Oh. We had more than two parrots, didn't we? We had a whole lot. We had a big one. We had to put that poultry netting around to keep them in the, so they wouldn't get down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember having a lot. I guess you did.
No, we just had two pair in there then, and after that, they hatched down there at the barn, and we had 19.
Oh, that's the way it was. Oh, I see. Yeah.
After we moved them to the barn, then we had 19.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing as pretty as those geese on that lake.
Mm-mm. No, they ain't pretty.
We give them all to one man.
After they tore the fences, had to take fences all out, see, while we knew they'd be right
up
the road.
But I remember going in the barn there, you see, and one of those old geese would find a nest, and there'd be...
Nest full of eggs.
Nest full of eggs, you know, and she'd sit there and blow at you.
You remember that old one you carried in your pocket? That old goose, he'd stick his feet down in your pocket.
Yeah, in the
ground down under the ice and died.
Yeah.
We never did have another that good anymore.
Yeah. Well, I see they had successes down here, because when I came down here, you see, we got some geese just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we called them Napoleon. And, Guinevere, what's her name?
Josephine.
And I had a hard time finding them. And I forget now where we did find them. And we brought them out here. And we never knew what happened, but the varmints was bothering them, and they were scared, and they'd be sort of rattled the next morning. And then one time we went out there, and just Napoleon was left, and the other one disappeared. And I know I looked all over this country first and last for some signs of that goose. And whatever got it took it off.
Foxes don't leave signs.
Oh, they don't?
Uh-uh. Foxes just gets them by the neck and slings them back over their back and goes on. They don't leave them.
Yeah.
Don't leave his feathers and things.
Well, we somehow figured it was a bobcat.
Well, might be.
But there was probably some foxes in here then, too.
Uh-huh. But skunks got after.
So I took them down to Miss Bessie, and then I looked all over the country to find another goose to go with him. and I remember wherever we found it, way up in the north end of the county, up there where Faye bought a horse. And it just happened that they had a bunch of geese there. And there was a different variety of geese. These were Chinese geese or something like that. And we took them down to Miss Bessie, and she kept that goose as long as she lived. And every time I'd pass there in the car, that goose would see me and start speaking.
Oh, yeah.
He'd know Guy's car before
he
turned the corner.
Oh, yeah.
He knew the car.
He knew me. And sometimes I'd pass and wouldn't speak, and Miss Bessie said he'd fuss. And she cautioned me about that. She said, you better speak to this goose when you come by here. And I remember one time I was going by there with Mambo in the car, and she said, now that is something. Here's a man that speaks to a goose. And I said, Mambo, you can figure it the other way. Here's a goose that speaks to a man. You can figure it either way you want to.
Well, you've always heard the expression, the sense of a goose.
Yeah.
He don't have the sense of a goose.
Yeah.
Now, gooses have got plenty of sense.
Plenty of sense, yeah.
Yes.
Why, that goose was the best company you ever saw.
Well, up there at home, you'd be down the lower end of the field,
yes,
and holler for Napoleon, and he'd leave that lake and leave all the rest of the geese and come to you.
Yes, sir. And they'd be up there, and I'd be sitting down there on a bale of hay, and they'd start off, and he'd look at me, and he'd look at them geese, and you could see him deciding in his mind, and he'd stay with me.
Yeah. Well, you can get down there in the lower end of the field, you know, and call him.
Yeah.
Well, there isn't often one to leave the rest of them. But now he'd leave the rest of them right on the lake or around the lake, and he'd head right down through the field.
Yeah.
I remember one morning we got up real early, and of course we had to all the time anyway, get up early. And your car was down to the barn.
It was Sunday morning, and the fog on. I couldn't tell whose car
it
was.
And it was raining. And when we got down there, you was down there, and both the dogs was with you. And you sitting there listening to rain on that barn roof.
I got down there. I couldn't tell what the car was, see, whose car it was.
Yeah.
But I could see a car, but it's so foggy, I couldn't tell whose it was until I got right near it. I went in, and he had a bale of hay up on each side of him, one sitting here, and one dog in his lap, and the other in between his knees. And I said, can you tell me what a college man doing down here on Sunday morning at this time in the morning?
You know that barn. I never did get so I could sit in that barn without the wind blowing on
me. No,
day.
Sir.
No.
You got them cracks, you know, and I'm telling you, they ventilate, don't they?
Yeah, they
don't have to be big to ventilate either.
Had to have ventilation for the tobacco.
Yeah.
Cure it up.
Yeah.
But the one cozy place was outside, leaning against that barn.
Now that tobacco.
When the sun come up in the morning, right there at the by the wall, why you was all right.
That tobacco that you raised in that country, you cut the whole stalk, and then take it down and take it home and tie it up in hand. But now the tobacco down here, they crop it.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
They start with the
bottom leaves.
Is it ripened?
As it ripens, they come up with it.
And they take it in the shed in their barn, and they'll cook cook a barn of tobacco.
Yeah, they got a room that ain't much bigger than this kitchen, and they'll pile it full of tobacco. And
that's a pack shed.
Yeah.
And they'll take it out of the barn and pack it in the pack shed. And
put it in that place, see, and put the fire to it. That's what you call fire cured. They heat it. Certain temperature.
Where do you dry it?
Cure it out.
Well, that's the regular barn. They've got just regular barns like yours.
Yeah.
And they fill that barn and put the fire to it. Mm-hmm. And it takes a week.
Yeah.
And then they'll take it down and take it over in their little place and bulk it down and let it stay.
And when they take it to market, they take a big burlap about this long, big a square, and they'll lay it, pile it in there, and then they'll bring the four corners up, tie it up, and throw it on.
Don't put it in a hogger?
No, in their hands either. They just
add them tobacco sheets.
Yeah. Put it in them big sheets and bring the four corners in time, like you were tying up a four-cornered bed sheet full of dirty clothes.
Yeah. That's curious, isn't it?
Then when they get to market with it, they just untie that. There it lays.
Nancy called the other night, or maybe she wrote it. You know where we planted the flowers around the bank of the lake?
Yeah.
She said that whole hillside and our yard was just a bunch of flowers all over.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yellow flowers, and they're all gone. Soon they'll all be gone before we get home
Easter
and be died
lily.
Out.
Easter lilies.
And those that we planted, you know what you helped Mr. Gary plant around the bank?
Yeah.
Well, the bloom is that big. Great big blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
The whole daffodil.
What you planted around the foot of the pond there, you know?
Yeah.
Around the lake?
Yeah.
Well, them things is that big around.
They were huge things.
They're that big around.
I
bet you fella go in there, what he ought to do, they need to be stirred in.
Yeah.
I bet you he'd get a 5-bushel basket full of bulbs that he don't need in there.
Yeah.
I know you can down there on that bank that
in
goes
yard,
down toward
the
road. I know you could get no telling how many there that don't need to be there.
Yeah.
They're getting so thick that they
I
need.
Want to when
well,
we
that's
get
right. We even put them on that bank next to the road.
Yeah.
We planted a straight row through there besides what we had in them clumps, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I bet there's 5 bushels of bulbs there that could be took out.
I want to paint a great big back out toward the garage. I want to paint a great big bit of them.
Well, all you need is a strong back. And just
weak mind, that's what he said. A weak mind and a strong back.
Go down there and dig them out.
He said before we was married, he said, all we need on that farm is somebody with a weak mind and a strong back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I've got the weak mind and you've got the strong back. Maybe we can go.
We decided to make a try at it, and we've done pretty well.
Rudy, how did How did you ever happen to get a hold of that property, all that property in there? Now you're.
You mean the farm?
Yes.
Well, when the.
Your folks wasn't.
It was my husband.
Yeah.
My first husband.
Your folks was over.
Across the creek on the other side. Had a bigger farm than I did.
Yeah.
Well, same number of acres, but I got more wooden.
Hill land.
Yeah.
Than Dad had. Well, when I was married in January. We bought the farm in February and went to housekeeping in April. And, of course, he was a railroad man and he got a little money from the wreck, you know, when he was in the railroad wreck and lost his legs. So his legs was off before I married him. And,
legs off, didn't he?
Yeah, and we didn't know any better thing to do. With enough of that, some of that money to buy that farm, and we paid $2,100 for it. And when we sold it, we sold it a little more than that.
But you had it all that time, and
yeah.
you worked.
And you know how I kept it? Had a pretty hard time doing it. And I paid my taxes, $5 or $10 a time, whatever I had. As soon as I got through with 1 year, I'd start paying on the next. As soon as the tax books was run up, I'd go to the courthouse and put $10 on my taxes, or $5, or whatever money I had, till I'd get up.
But she was working for $80 a month then in the bank.
Yeah.
They never.
That's good money.
My tax was never more than $80 or $85, but that $80 or $85 was hard to pay.
Yeah.
And I paid a little at a time. But when Dosha went into nursing then, she'd like to have gone to John Hopkins Hospital, you know, for special work.
Yeah.
And I said, now if you want to go, I'll sell the farm and I'll go with you. And I know I can find something to do with washing dishes in this by the kitchen. And, we talked it over and she thought it would be too much of a sacrifice. And so she just went on with what training she had. And I just kept on paying a little time on the taxes.
Well, when you figure $80 a year, you see, the money you pay that with ain't what you earn, it's what you save.
Yeah, and
you don't save it too fast on $80.
And you just, it's hard to get it $80 or $85 at a time.
Yeah.
The time the taxes are due and everything else, all living expenses and everything else. Because she never cost me very much in school. They gave them $10 a month then to take their training for their practice. They had to do practical work during all the study.
Yeah.
And she got $10 a month. Well, that was about all the time she had to have any for spending money.
Yeah.
About all the time she had to spend it anyway.
Yeah.
Now, all that time, though, but you farmed this farm.
Well, I'd rented out maybe the corn ground, 10 acres of corn or whatever I had, or for soybeans. But I had to sell my cattle. I couldn't take care of my cattle and work. And I had to work. And I got rid of all the cattle on the farm that I had on the farm. So I bought the soybeans. The fella had rented two. Mine would be pretty thin, wouldn't be very heavy on the ground. And he'd have good crops. I don't know where he got his seed, but I thought I didn't have enough seed on my ground. I don't know if he got them out of mine or whether he had some of his own. Because he had better soybeans than I did. Sold a man my father one year after we got the corn all gathered. You know, we put in shocks then. Cut the corn up in shocks.
Yeah.
And gathered the corn, he'd come up on the father. I said, now if that's worth 20 cents a shock to you, take it. And if it's not, you leave it alone. It's worth more than that to me to scatter it out on the ground. And he took, I think, about 60 shocks. I forgot now what it was. Several, a big number. And I never did get a penny out of it. He got all the fodder, and my ground didn't get any of it.
Well, now that's the luck I have when I'm dealing with them.
Yeah, pretty. No, not no, not too much.
Here's one thing I'd like to get it straight, because we've talked about it off and on, you know,
yeah,
a number of times, a little bit at a time, and that's when they built that house, they and Estra and them built that house up there,
yeah,
and they didn't even spend any money on it. You see,
I never did hear this house. You know, I've heard you talk a little bit, but not really. And I was out there a lot about that.
Well, you see, we had our own timber, our own lumber. We cut our own trees. Had the sawmill come in there and saw up the lumber.
Now, you had some pretty good trees down there, didn't
we? Had some good trees. And we had our flooring. They had a place there close to where you could have it dry killed.
Just between you and town?
Mm-hmm. No, it would be over toward Salt Lake.
Or down the other way.
Yeah, uh-huh. And we had our lumber sawed and took it to this mill and had our flooring all dry killed and had our own lumber. And we had...
It's on the right side.
Cross Creek.
Yeah.
Over there, across the railroad.
Yeah.
Across the railroad, you know. That's
across
where
railroad,
we got
yeah.
That's where we got the lumber to build our house.
Yeah.
Well, when it come time to put our building up, you know, to finish it, we, instead of having weatherboarded and have to paint it every year, we sold our weatherboarding, the lumber that would have made our weatherboarding, and bought the brick. Paid,
oh, yeah.
We sold our wood, our lumber, and bought the brick and paid most of putting it on, didn't we?
All we had to do was sand and cement to put it together with, so we was out.
We had enough the money from the lumber we sold to pay for all the brick and having it put on.
Oh, now, I didn't realize.
Have the brick put on, you see, instead of having the lumber where we'd had to paint it every year or every 2 years. Now we've got the brick.
Sure.
Well, we had our own truck and our driver. And he hauled the brick from over toward Ashland. He hauled the brick from the brick plant. Well, of course, that didn't cost anything, only just his labor and gasoline.
Yeah.
He was already working for us.
Yeah.
And we managed, we got along pretty well with it. Of course, we had to pay Estel. That was $3 an hour, so we paid him.
Yeah.
I can't remember the hours.
Yeah, but we sold enough... scrap lumber for pallet mills and railroad ties to railroad people to get the money to pay all the other that we had to pay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we had a, you know, we bought our, through the store, we bought the roofing at wholesale price. And we had our nails at wholesale price.
Yeah.
And so I guess we got along pretty well with our building.
Yeah.
Without costing us a whole lot. That
see, by selling this scrap lumber that they could use in making pallets, and then selling the railroad ties, paid for the things that we had to get, like nails and roof and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Of course, we got them through the store. Hopefully.
We had our rafters cut for the house, but they liked 2 foot being long enough. When we changed some things that run them straight instead of going in and out, so we traded our 2x6s. 20 feet long to Otto Carr for 2x6s, 22 feet long.
Yeah.
And paid for the extra 2 feet. Of course, the scrap lumber and ties that we had and the poplar lumber that we sold to get our bricks out of paid all the extra money that we was out.
We didn't have
otherwise.
We didn't have a whole lot of money besides what our lumber brought us. Got it all off the farm.
And is Estel the only other one who worked on this house?
Well, we'd have to have maybe...
Yeah, I see.
Here's
the
Curtis
concrete, we had to have enough men to... You
pour
know,
that concrete
that
wall
the
around
basement,
there.
You know. We'd have to have enough men there for...
But see, we had all of our subfloors. We had our floor joists and our subfloor and our sheeting for a roof. And, of course, as I said, we had to change rafters after we had them 2 foot too short. See, the house had some offsets in it. Come out here so far and then go in a foot or 18 inches and then go again and go in. Instead of doing that, we run a straight line.
Yeah.
When we run that straight line then, in order to make our roof come out like we wanted it to, we had to have 2 foot more rafters.
Yeah.
Then on the back side of the house, we did the same thing. Where my bedroom is, we made it the wall run level with it, clear
straight
the length
through
of the house, and that gave us 2 feet more width in the house, and we put that in the hall, in the hallway, and made our halls wide.
I see. Mm-hmm.
We let that 2 feet, we let our other rooms go on at the same measurements, but we let that 2 feet come in the width of the hall. That's why we got the wide hall.
Those bedrooms are pretty good size upstairs.
Yeah,
too.
They're. One you had is the least room on the place.
Yeah.
Now my bedroom, Nancy's got the biggest bedroom.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Uh-huh.
See, those closets are all lined with cedar.
Yeah.
And we sold, as the saying is, we sold scraps and bought the cedar.
Oh, did you?
See, that stuff that would have laid around there and rotted, we sold it to these fellows that was making pallets. Well, if there was a board 8 feet long and it had a 2-inch bad place on the end, see, there's still room enough for them to get a board out of it to make pallets.
Make what?
Pallets.
Like the things you have loading around our houses. Where you run them buggies in under them and lift that.
They run these high lifts. They make a pallet, you know, with a, and then they run these fork trucks through that and stack this pallet full of stuff, lift it up.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen them move them around the warehouse.
You've seen them around these warehouses.
Yeah.
Yes.
I never had a name for them.
Wooden pallets is what they call them.
P-A-L-L-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
Of all things. And that's what you
see.
You?
See, there's
the
a there's a crack in them that they can run this forklift through, see?
Yeah.
Well, then they got all the weight on this forklift. Maybe there'd be 2 ton on that thing.
Yeah.
And they'll just raise it up like this, and then they take it and set it down wherever they want it.
But all that waste distributed.
All that would have been waste had we not been able to sold it to a pallet mill, we'd have lost it.
Sure.
Or made wood out of it.
Where they make those pallets for big warehouses.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coca-Cola's and let's see, Chad sold them to about 4 or 5 different companies making pallets for them.
Yeah.
Oh.
That way, we got rid of everything that was,
yeah.
Well, everything that was 4 foot long.
I see.
Yeah.
As long as it was 4 foot long, he'd take it.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And 6 inches wide, well, it was 4 feet long, 6 inches wide, he'd take it.
Yeah, and you had a lot of that. Scraps.
Yeah.
That's right, you'd call it scrap.
Yeah.
In other words, it might have laid there and rotted, or it might have made wood out of it or something like that.
Now, let me tell you, Pete, this is probably the best way, because Pootie and Bill and Gary both give it. But I tell you what, I'd like to have a choice. Now, you see, Bill Gary can start first in about 3 minutes. He can get it all in and get it sort of consecutive. He can just line it out from start. You got that pattern out of that one of those little magazines.
The house?
Yes.
Yeah.
She saw a house pattern. Well, she saw a house.
Picture.
Yeah.
In a magazine.
Yeah. Little Progressive Farmers, up like
yeah,
that.
I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was something. And she said, you know, I like this house. And I said, all right, we'll see about it. She said, well, for a dollar, we can get the blueprint. So she orders a blueprint for a dollar. Well, you know the table in the kitchen in that little shack, you know where it's at.
Yeah.
Come out of the kitchen, the table's sitting right here in this hole. Well.
This is in the end of Channel 2 Right, end of Channel 2 Right, end of Channel 2 Right. It's a visit with Bill and Prudy Gary this Thursday, the 18th of March, 76, end of Channel 2 Right.